O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. If you didn't hear it last week, or last year, or 20 years ago, or 50 years ago, I don't know if you heard, but the King is coming. On Palm Sunday, maybe the people were gathering at the gate in Jerusalem. They're going outside the gate, because I don't know if you heard, but the King was coming. The King was coming to Jerusalem, and he was coming in a way that he had told his disciples to go on ahead to get a colt of a donkey, to get it ready for him. The master has need of it, and the King is coming. And people ran out to meet the King. And maybe they said to one another, before they blended their voices together in Hosanna, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Glory to God in the highest. They went out and said, the King is coming, the King is coming. You don't wait for the King to come to you. Not when you know he's coming to your city, you go out and wait for him to come. See, on this first Sunday in Advent, the gospel reading is the Palm Sunday reading. And we know that Jesus is the King who would come ultimately to be lifted up on a cross. We sang this, what I think is an awesome Advent hymn. Lo, he comes with clouds descending. Because most of us speak in King James anyway, right? Lo. Purdue lost yesterday to Michigan. No, that's not how. But no, he is coming. Look, he's coming. The King is coming. Last week, I stood over at this window. Today, the sun is shining. And if you weren't here, you would have heard that the King is coming. Because it could happen at any moment. The King will come. See, I don't know if you heard it, but if you didn't hear it again today. The King is coming. See, when I stood and stand at the window here, I can see this picture of Easter, but I can't see outside the window, but I know what is coming. I see the sun shining. The sun is rising this morning. I know what will happen, but I can't see it yet with perfect clarity, but there are signposts pointing to what will happen. I just can't see it clearly yet. But I know which way to hope. I know the direction to place my hope. We know. And the direction, the place, it's in Jesus. Because it's still all about Jesus. It was about Jesus. It will be about Jesus. It's all about Jesus because we are shaped by His story. And as we move through Advent, we have a direction for our hope. This first Sunday in Advent is focusing on hope. We lit the candle for hope. As we move through Advent, we realize that the church orients itself to the future by remembering its past. And so we move through Advent focusing initially, just like we did at the end of the church year, on Jesus' second coming. And each week of Advent moves us closer to Jesus' first coming. If you look at those little windows out there, you see elements that happen, many of them during Advent, one during Epiphany. We hear about John the Baptist. John the Baptist asking a question when he's in prison, sending out his disciple to ask Jesus, are you the one, or should we expect another? To finally we get to the fourth Sunday in Advent, and we hear the angel who comes to Mary and announces that the baby that you're going to have, his name is Jesus, which means the Lord saves. As we move through Advent, the church orients herself to the future by remembering her past. Because the gospel story, Jesus, interprets how we see and live the entire story of our life. The gospel story is a window. It's a lens. It's a template for how we see all things. or at least for how I see all things. Because every week, the rhythm, and every year, the rhythm in the church brings me back, brings you back, and centers us in Jesus. The Omega, the ending, the Alpha, the beginning, and everything in between. And we find ourselves in Jesus. Jesus, who is the King. Because Jesus is the King and He reigns, then everything else falls into place. And silly, insignificant things, like Purdue losing to Michigan yesterday, not a big deal, still early in the season. But in the end, it doesn't matter because Christ is the King and He reigns. It doesn't matter who the president is or isn't, because ultimately Christ is the King and He reigns. It doesn't matter if Democrats control Congress or Republicans or libertarians or nobody, because Christ is the King and He reigns and He will return. Pick any event in your life, or pick an event in my life. It doesn't matter what it is. Not ultimately. Because Christ is the King and He is reigning now. And because we know and we are oriented toward the future, we cannot see it with perfect clarity, but there are plenty of signposts pointing that way. We can see the past with clarity. We know what has happened, and anchored between those two points is our life, yours and mine, and it's all about Jesus, the King who reigns. Recently, I was rereading a book by Walter Wongren, who taught at Valparaiso University. Noah, you said you had him in class. I heard him preach a number of times. And he talks about the season of Advent and what it means for us as the church. And he says that the church year, I mean, it is a gift for us. The church year, Walter Wongren says, is this grand theatric. It is a drama. It's a divine drama. And it's something that will take 6 months to enact. Not that you should only come to church half the year, but this festival part of the church year, starting with the first Sunday in Advent all the way up to like Pentecost, from December to May, it is a divine drama where, you've guessed it, Jesus is the hero. But you and I are not only spectators, but we are also participants in that drama. We have been brought into the story. And so in the same way, when you hear about Jesus, who is the King, who is coming into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, we say, wait a minute, that's just not those people's King. That's my King. That's my King. And He has come to suffer, to die, to live, to ascend into heaven, to reign, and to come back for us, for me. And so this first Sunday in Advent and all the Sundays of Advent, they're about getting ready, preparing for the hero. The hero enters into the story and the people anticipate His coming. And so we have the prophets who proclaim that promise, like Jeremiah and Isaiah, the Italian prophet. So it's a good joke. Malachi, Malachi. The Italian prophet. All these prophets who proclaim the promises of God. And so old promises are remembered. New promises are made. You have people who come into the story like Zechariah and Elizabeth, like Joseph and Mary. But it's not just for them. It's also for you and me. It is our story. The hero is coming on the scene. And so people prepare. Christians examine themselves and prepare themselves on the inside and on the outside. Get ready. Because I don't know if you've heard, but the King is coming. And there are these emotions that well up from within, so much so that we lift up our voices in song and sing the song of love that God has placed into our hearts, songs of preparation and adoration, psalms of repentance and celebration. Because we know that a day is coming when that song will break forth both in heaven and on earth, that the King is here. Get ready. But we move from Advent into the Christmas season, and there is a surprise, because the hero shows up, but the hero comes. Penelope, how does the hero come? You were here yesterday. You remember how the hero comes?
as a baby.
Yeah, he comes as a baby, and it's a surprise because we're waiting for the king, and you're telling me that the king comes, and he comes as a little baby who is meek and mild, and he has to be supported and cared for by his parents. He's the baby who comes, and the angels announce to the shepherds that the baby is there, and they go to Bethlehem to see this thing that the Lord has done for them. Peace on earth and glory to God in the highest, but it's a surprise. Because the hero, well, he looks like you and me. He's a hero who is sinless. His name is Jesus. It means the Lord saves. He's come for sinners, and he has come. And during the Christmas season, we hear about all those promises, and we move to Epiphany, and we see that the light shines in the darkness, and it shines for people who would otherwise be in the darkness and bring them into the light. He's come for us. And then we move into Lent, and we walk with Jesus. And then moving into the Easter season, each place along the way, it's all about Jesus, the King who has come, the King who will come back, the King who is reigning now. So here at the beginning of the church year, we're reminded again, we're brought back into the story, not that we were ever taken out of it. We're given a frame of reference, a lens, a filter for looking at life. See, Advent is something that the church has used to define the times, the beginning and the ending, the middle, the past and the present, the future, when the King returns. So one of my favorite things that Walter Wangren says about Advent, he says, and when will Jesus get here? When will Jesus get here? And none of us knows, only the Father in heaven knows the answer. But Wenger says, when will Jesus get here? And he says, just like any New Year's Day, at the end and the beginning. And when will Jesus get here? When will the King arrive? Just like any New Year's Day, at the end and the beginning. So how do we prepare for Jesus' second coming? Well, part of it's doing what we're doing now, gathering together in church at the beginning of a new church year, preparing for his second coming, living our lives, the vocations that God has given us, sharing the good news. But one of the ways we prepare for Jesus' second coming is by meditating and focusing on his first coming. Because even though the future might be foggy or hidden from us in total clarity, the past is not. So I don't know if you've heard, but the King is coming. There's an English theologian named N.T. Wright who has written a number of books, but one of them is called Surprised by Hope. And he says that for us as Christians, that hope is like a signpost that is pointing to something on ahead. And so maybe you have gone to some place where there's a signpost 5 miles out or a mile out that is for a scenic lookout. I remember when Andrea and I were on our honeymoon in Kauai, and we were going to see the Waimea Canyon, and as we snaked our way up into the mountains, it was foggy, and you would see signs that it's just around the bend, and we didn't know exactly what awaited us, but we were excited. We knew we were headed in the right direction. For us as Christians, hope is a signpost that points in the future. I cannot see out this window clearly, but I know what is coming. And it's kind of foggy. But I can look back and see where I have been and where we have been and where Christ has been. I can see the past with clarity. But for Christians, an Advent means to come. It's not just about us walking the road of life and eventually maybe we'll run into Jesus. See, we go together down this road of life, but we stick together. But what's ahead, maybe think of it as foggy. And there are times maybe we feel like we take a couple steps backward, a couple forward, but we're waiting for the King to come. And so maybe you're looking out ahead of you, and it is foggy, and you can only see about 100 feet. But you know who's coming toward us. Because I don't know if you've heard, but the King is coming. And one day, it could be today, you'll see the silhouette and the shape of the King who's coming to you and me. That's what hope is for a Christian. Hope is, it has a shape, it has a direction, it's in Jesus. And so, every new year, we focus on when Jesus will come. Because like any New Year's Day, he'll get here at the end, just like he came in the beginning. Comes for you and me. What a blessing it is to gather together today in hope, and maybe the sun is blinding your eyes, but when Christ returns, it's going to be awesome. But until then, we wait with hope, because we know that Christ reigns, and regardless of what happens, nothing is outside of his control and his power. And we join together and journey together in him and through him today and always. To him be the glory. Amen. And now may the peace that passes understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our King, who reigns and who will return. Amen.